Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast Extras. In this episode, we talk about the Maximum PC Dream Machine, and we dreamcast the new Borderlands movie. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia. With me today, I have Darren McCain.
Dennis, recently we talked about our build section on the hardwareasylum.com website.
Yeah, we have an unlimited build in there along with a basically the podcast machine.
Well, we should talk a little bit about what an unlimited build means to us at Hardware Asylum. And I have an ulterior motive, I'll warn you.
Okay, so unlimited build, the way that Hardware Asylum sees it, is extreme, but with a purpose. So we don't use excessive hard drives or excessive video cards unless they serve a purpose for the reason for the build.
So our targeted purpose for our unlimited machine is?
Well, this time around, it was four-way SLI under LN2.
Oh, excellent. So kind of an extreme overclocking box.
Yeah, basically.
So not necessarily a game box, but purpose-driven. I like that. And the reason that I brought this up is because everybody likes to do builds out there.
Yeah, kind of that sky's the limit if money was no object.
And we'd all like to win the lottery, but that isn't really very realistic. At least, I don't think it is.
No, I don't.
I'll keep buying scratch cards, but until then, we build our builds, and there are more of them coming, based around specific targeted activities or audiences that we think are realistic. A gaming machine would be targeted at what we think a typical gamer is, for example. Right. And our streaming machine, has a nice practical purpose because we use it as a streaming machine.
Exactly.
So the reason I brought this up is it's that time of year again where one of the granddaddies of builds out there is Maximum PC's Dream PC. And it's that time, Dennis.
It's that time for the Dream PC 2015?
That's right. Now, the Dream PC is kind of a lottery ticket build.
Yeah. Well, and I believe in the podcast when I talked about the builds, there was a couple of sites that I knew from a long time ago, like one was geek.com or something, mm-hmm. that had an unlimited build where they put in 30 SCSI RAID drives together and, yeah, four monitors. Everything just seemed extreme because they could do it, not because it was
practical. That's right. I like to run my external chiller on the space shuttle, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Or like super overclocking when you're flying from Los Angeles to Taiwan. I mean, outside ambient air is like negative 50, so.
Well, we may target a more practical build, but it's still fun to look at these sky the limit builds and kind of say, well, what would we do? So I thought, why not take a look at Maximum PC's build to give them full credit and just see what we like about it and what makes it kind of silly.
Okay.
So we've got this up. I won't bother to give you too much information about the link other than it would be impossible to not find it with Google. Mm-hmm. So feel free to check it out or buy their latest issue because, hey, why not? We don't have a magazine
yet.
Anyway, so let's walk through it. I'll walk through it, and Dennis, we can talk a little bit about it. So for their CPU, they've chosen the Intel Core i7-5960X, which, of course, is a Haswell E.
Haswell E, 8 cores. Supports quad-channel memory. It's basically the fastest processor you can get.
Beautiful. Now, it's not a Skylake,
no,
but...
it's not a Skylake, but we get more cores, so more threads.
Right.
We get quad-channel memory. It's the workstation processor. They could have gone with a Xeon that has, 16 cores or something like that?
Right, but less mainstream. Okay.
Yeah, but this is something that anybody could buy off the shelf. So this is practical. I mean, heck, I have one of these.
And I think a very good choice if you're looking for an extreme build. It's going to be good for gamers, enthusiasts, overclockers, Photoshoppers, you name it.
Yep.
All right. For their motherboard, they've chosen one that we have given nice rave reviews to, Asus's Rampage 5 Extreme.
Mm-hmm. Very good board. This isn't one that I've seen personally, but we've seen Rampage boards in the past, and they were always good.
Fantastic. And of course, you can't go wrong with Asus. They have a reputation for quality, stability, and features.
And they're red and black.
Very nice. Now for RAM, they've gone with a nice choice, 64 gigs of DDR4 Corsair Dominator memory. Now, I know we've had Corsair Dominator memory mm-hmm. on the bench.
We have in the DDR3 variant. Very good memory. I like the Dominator look. You know, it's got the fins and the lights, and it's generally good quality memory. It's 64 gigs is a bit excessive. It kind of goes with the extreme build nature, I should say. But personally, we've talked, and you were debating on going with 16 or 32 gigs.
Exactly.
And I ended up talking you down to 16.
Well, there are just so many different reasons that 32 is overkill. I'm having a hard time coming up with a practical reason to have 64 other than because you can.
Yeah, and I believe this is one of those decisions because you can.
Well, I totally agree, and that brings that price way up. I mean, they've nickel and dimed that puppy at about $1,500, which, yeah, okay, lottery ticket maybe, but I honestly could see myself settling into a more mainstream Corsair set at 16 gigs and being happy. 32 if you're really going to push it with some extreme multi-threading apps.
Yeah, Photoshop or video editing.
The reality is, I think that you're going to outgrow the machine before you need 64 gigs of RAM.
Yes.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else? We got GPUs. Now, not a surprise here. Sky's the limit, so why not four Titan X Hydro Coppers from EVGA?
Yeah. So, Titan X, one Titan X, already extreme.
Yes.
Two Titan X's, I would say, is the sweet spot for the money, whereas you have a lot of it. Three Titan X's, that is getting into the realm of showing off. Four Titan X's is probably up there with 64 gigs of memory. That's just kind of extreme.
Well, you know, we've seen four Titan X's, but it's been exhibition, factory-sponsored overclocking.
Yes, yes.
And that's really it. Now, I don't want to disrespect because we love EVGA, and their Titan X Hydro Copper is a phenomenal card. What are you going to drive with four? I mean, I guess a bank of 4K monitors?
Yeah, probably. Like maybe. Well, say, for instance, you were going to have, because each card will support four monitors.
Yeah.
So that's 16 panels. Whoa. 16 4K panels all stuck together to do, like, outdoor movie night in your backyard.
That would be awesome. You could heat your house with it, probably.
Yeah, I think so.
Very cool. Maybe they're going to do extreme Bitcoin mining.
Yeah, although the AMD cards are still better for that.
Oh, yeah.
More threads. So,
bottom line is, a more realistic extreme build would be what kind of GPU?
Well, right now the 980 Ti's are extremely good, very affordable. They have basically the same power as the Titan, but at half the cost.
Hey, yeah, you get two of those for the price of a single Titan X, which is probably going to drive anything any normal person is going to have in their house.
Well, even a 4K panel for that matter.
Oh, yeah, or more.
Or more. All right, so what do they have next here?
Well, they went the SSD route, which is not a surprise. They picked fantastic one. Samsung 850 Pro 1TB, which is a fantastic drive, one of the fastest out there. But Dennis, 1TB, they chose four of them.
So that's 4TB, and I read in the article that they did these in a RAID 0.
Okay, there you go.
So at that point, they're saturating the SATA bus with bandwidth.
Okay.
So basically, at that point, SATA itself is the bottleneck. Drives, phenomenal. Obviously, I don't even need 4TB for my main system, so.
Well, it seems a little extreme to do it with your SSDs. I mean, it is a volatile storage. It's not like you're going to put every MP3 or the Library of Congress on those.
Yeah, well, and that brings up a good point. It's like, okay, you have 4TB, and it's something that any one of those drives could crash,
right,
and it would destroy the entire RAID. How do you back up 4TB of data?
Yeah, well, they've covered that because they've included four Western Digital Black 6TB drives, I'm guessing, for storage.
Yeah, so I guess, what, 4K questionable movies you can download off BitTorrent?
24TB. Well, you got to have something big if you're going to run it with those four cards. So why not 4K 3D movies of extreme audio Atmos madness?
Yeah, that definitely could be. Now, one thing that, I mean, I have no problem doing mega RAIDs. I really think it's awesome to have that kind of storage.
Sure, yeah.
Obviously, you need to fill it up with something, and then you still need to contend with backups and everything. But one thing that a lot of people don't realize is that when you start doing RAIDs like this and you don't have a hardware RAID card, all the calculations for that RAID go through the CPU the memory. Obviously, we have, you know, the 5960X, that's a very fast CPU. But if you are doing video encoding and also transcoding to the hard drives, it's going to slow the whole system down because it's taking out a lot of CPU cycles to save all that data.
Well, I think I agree. I mean, maybe a more realistic build would be to have a single Samsung 850 Pro 1 terabyte and maybe a single 6. But if you're going to be adding that much external storage, I think we'd both agree that it might be time to be looking at an external storage device or a NAS. Not only is it safer, but it negates any failures from your primary machine. So your backup is actually at least external to your main PC, giving you that additional risk tolerance.
Yeah.
So let's move on there. Gut cooling. Well, this is a nice plus. They went with an EKWB custom loop cooling. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, if sky's the limit, why not get a premium water cooling loop?
Well, and they went with the hydro coppers on the Titan X's. So you knew that they were going to be doing a DIY sort of cooling setup.
Absolutely. We've talked about the cost of custom water cooling before, and they have marketed $450. Now, of course, they didn't have to buy water blocks for their Titan X array.
No.
So that $450 is not, I think, too terribly off the mark to do it right.
No. That's going to be tubes. That's going to be a pump. The picture showed three reservoirs.
Nice. So you've got a nice cascade there.
All right. And I believe it's a single loop, so it goes through the whole thing. I didn't see radiators, and that is where the cost can go up and down quite a bit.
Yeah, I think this had a triple in the top, if I remember correctly.
We have four Titan X's, we have 64 gigs of memory, and they did a single triple fan radiator. Mm-hmm. That doesn't match up.
Well, I mean, ultimately, I think if you're going to get that crazy with your heat, which we've already talked about, maybe it's an opportunity to take your reservoir externally. And most good cases these days support that with at least two, if not more, external hose gaskets.
Yeah, well, the picture showed everything internal, uh-huh. Which, speaking of case, what do they do for case?
Well, they have a Case Labs Magnum SMA8. Now, I know cases are subjective.
Yeah.
Very subjective. But this is one of the premium ones out there. This is a $520 case.
Yeah.
Very custom. Also very large, which makes sense with the amount of crap we're stuffing into this thing.
Yeah, you got to have enough room to store all that stuff. And it
needs to breathe, too.
Yeah, and the Case Labs cases are very popular with modders because they are large. And you can mount a multitude of different cooling arrays and radiators all over and not have to hinder or figure out where something goes or what has to be removed to make it fit.
Well, exactly. And I know every site seems to have kind of a brand they favor. And if we were to go sky's limit, what would you be looking at for a case?
I would look for Case Labs, obviously. It's going to be a good big case. We can't say Case Labs without Thermaltake. They've been a lot with the box style cases like that. Believe it or not, I am a fan of DIY cooling, but I want to make it compact and realistic. So I look for Silverstone, for instance. They make the Raven 2 as a great water cooling case.
Right.
And I believe Corsair has another fairly large case like that that will support a couple of different radiators.
Well, definitely, again, subjective. Mm-hmm. And for $520, you have an amazing amount of cases to choose from. So, I mean, you literally... Yeah, you could spend all day shopping for a premium case. Mm-hmm. What's important? Space, airflow, and at least with a custom build, you want to have versatility.
Yeah. Cable management is the big thing that a lot of people take for granted a lot. So,
now the next, they budgeted $800 for a beautiful custom paint job. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, money well spent. It's beautiful. I don't know what a custom paint job costs because it always depends on what you do.
Yeah,
but if you're going to throw a paint job at it, all right, go with your bad self. But as a budget alternative, you could look at skinning your case.
Yeah, skinning it. Or if you are a bit crafty like myself, I've given away a couple of custom painted cases at Hardware Asylum. I think I budgeted $800 for the gear to get it set up, but I was able to paint three cases with that amount of money. So
yeah, there you go. So if you're a little bit creative and have some skill with an airbrush, then you could certainly get yourself in the position where $800 startup is going to give you the gear you need to build and paint many different cases.
Okay. The next item on this list is operating system, and I'm appalled.
They chose Windows 8.1. I like it. I run it. No, well, at least I did.
You did. By now, Windows 10 is in every home across America, except for the people holding on to Windows 7, me.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you've got to have a reason to not have upgraded. And a lot of folks didn't like 8.1, but Windows 10 really doesn't have that bad rep. Some folks that are dragging your feet, your excuses are kind of gone. And that's going to get more and more true as the operating system matures and DirectX 12 comes out.
Yeah.
And those last few drivers and applications get converted over, which is happening at a very amazing rate, thanks to Windows' unique strategy for getting everybody on board.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, monitor and mouse are the two next items.
Okay. So monitor, they chose a Dell UltraSharp UP2715K. Well, this is really a great choice. As we've talked about already on the podcast main this month, I'm a huge fan of UltraSharp's, a fantastic monitor, high quality, beautiful workmanship, $2,500 for this beast.
I'm assuming that's going to be a 4K.
Yes, of course.
And there's only one.
Yes, which is interesting. Now, $2,500 is a lot of money for a monitor. This is a premium monitor that would maybe do double duty as a gaming monitor and also as a high-end design monitor. So you're going to have extra crisp color, nice tight 4K lines. So this would have a home even for a Photoshop expert or a video editor.
Yeah. Now, I've had a dual monitor for 15, 16 plus years now.
Yes.
I can't actually work on a system with a single panel. Even if it's 4K, I need to have that second monitor just to throw stuff out there. So I'm surprised that they didn't add a second panel. I mean, this is an unlimited build after all.
Absolutely. And as we've talked about also, there are ultra wides, and you could stack two ultra wides for not much more than that $2,500, get even more resolution that could easily be pushed by all of those video cards.
Yeah. So I'm going to say that this is okay, everyone's talking 4K, so we have to have 4K.
Yeah, they did pick a good one. Mm-hmm. All right, mouse. Logitech Daedalus Apex mouse. An interesting choice.
Yeah, I would have gone with like a G502 or something.
Well, it's not exactly a enthusiast-level mouse. It's, I think, a safe choice at $70. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have the latest sensors in it. Isn't a multi-button monster. It's kind of a jack-of-all-trades, but it doesn't have, I guess, the speed, resolution, sensitivity crown.
Right. And I mentioned the 502, and you can buy those at Best Buy, for instance, for $70.
Well, I can only say here that I think maybe this is another opportunity where the mouse choice is subjective. You like the look, you like the feel, it's what you're used to, so you picked it. Yeah. And it's even more obvious that that may be the case when you look at their keyboard choice.
Yeah, that was the Razer Black Widow Chroma.
Well, that just means that they had Razer products in their stable, which makes the choice of a Logitech interesting.
Yeah, because Razer makes some really nice mice.
Now, some people feel like the Razer design is a little stagnant in the shape and the feel of them, but there's a good reason for that. It's phenomenally popular and phenomenally responsive, and Razer tends to go more to the cutting edge for both features and sensors. And lately, they've even got their micro switches at pretty high level. Yep. I don't know that it would be my choice, but it certainly begs to be out there. Now, the Razer Black Widow Chroma keyboard is definitely a great keyboard.
Yeah, at $170, that's right in the sweet spot of a lot of mechanicals.
So. Fantastic. But that price point really puts a lot of really, really amazing keyboards at your price point. So,
The next item here is something that you are familiar with.
Yes, a high-end headset, a Kingston HyperX Cloud 2 headset. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, we featured that on the podcast. I actually listened while we were recording, and I believe you took it home shortly thereafter.
You know, I couldn't resist. I have a Windows 10 machine, and my current Cooler Master Storm suite isn't supported yet. Please get on that, guys, for my 7.1. So the HyperX, I brought them home, and I have fallen in love with them. So, all right, $100 headset, but I love it, so I'm not going to complain about it. Yeah. Although, in a dream system, I might have gone with a wireless 7.1 setup.
More like it's like a Sennheiser, at least.
Yeah, Sennheiser, Gamer, or better.
Well, and believe it or not, these next three items, I kind of have issue with, partially because, okay, we have the HyperX Cloud 2, that's a USB headset that comes with its own USB sound card.
It does.
Okay, the next one is speakers. And as you claim, they're the Atom Audio 5.1 powered system at $3,700.
Yeah, now this is an audiophile's desktop, like a shelf system, and it's a good one. And it ought to be for $3,700. But it does beg to differ. If you're going to spend that kind of money, why not get an external card? I mean, SoundBlaster makes a great external DAC, maybe a headphone amp, or heck, just get yourself a receiver with some real 5.1 speakers and get yourself a nice professional level headset
to go with it.
Not a USB headset. And you're going to get a better sound space, or better sound stage, better highs, better lows. And I mean, the Kingston HyperX is a fantastic gaming headset, but you can get a lot better audiophile headset if you're going to throw the money away.
Yeah, and then we also have a SoundBlaster X7, which isn't that... Okay, so we have a four-way SLI system in in the machine, so there's no room for an added card.
Oh, yeah.
So this has to be like an external USB.
Sure.
Which then...
An external DAC, I think, is what that is.
Yeah, which I'm assuming the Atom Audio plugs into.
It must.
But then the Kingston runs its own audio by plugging into a USB. So that really does make any sense, as you'd mentioned.
Well, you know, if you want to rock the house and then put the headphones on, you're in two completely different camps. Yeah, I think for $4,100 worth of support, I'd go with a much different headset.
Yeah.
And I've tried a lot of them. So what else we got on here? Well, we got...
Two items left.
Well, they went with some LED strips and $90 worth of Logisys RGB LEDs. Well, I love lights.
Got to light the case.
I do love lights. And if you're going to spend that kind of money, then your case needs to look money.
Yeah.
So, although custom lighting.
I'm not familiar with Logisys in terms of their LED strips, but I know that Bitfinex has some magnetic ones.
Oh, yeah. I've seen those. And it's clever.
Yeah. And they mount anywhere. They're easy to move, easy to mount. You know, it seems that if the Logisys ones are actually stick them on, you might as well go with the magnetic ones and you can move it around.
Well, $90 buys a lot of lights, but take a look at the picture, see if you agree. That's definitely subjective. I know I like lighted fans. I like a little bit of backlighting, a little black lighting, maybe some combination. Man, $90 is a lot of lights.
Yeah. Well, the last item on this list, I fully endorse. I say that this is probably the best thing that they want.
Of course, we're talking about the power supply. They've chosen an EVGA Supernova 1600. $450 they've budgeted for this. And as you mentioned, we're big EVGA fans here at Hardware Asylum. And you have experience with this particular unit.
I have seen it in action. If I remember correctly, this is an 80-plus titanium, which is how they can get 1600 watts RMS out of it.
Fantastic.
So super efficient, makes basically no heat, and you need to have this kind of wattage to run four Titan X's and that 59.
That's right.
60X.
Well, the EVGA Supernova series has a great reputation. Not only are they certified gold platinum, but they also are extremely stable. And at this level, extremely versatile, because you're going to have the ability to set up just the cables you need. So definitely fantastic.
Well, so what's the total?
Well, if you haven't already peeked ahead on the Maximum PC website, I will tell you their grand total as of the day this was published was $21,325. Definitely a dream build.
Yeah, I want to say the four-way SLI that I built for the build section was around $5,000.
I think $5,000's not a bad stretch if you have a fairly unlimited budget. I can certainly see that build at $21,000 being something I'd have to win the lottery to purchase, and then maybe sky would be the limit. Anyway, we hope you check out our build site and take a look at what the competitors are doing. Also, see if you agree, and definitely let us know if we were just off on any of our decisions on our build or theirs. We'll see you in the forums.
As of this recording, PAX Prime had just finished.
Yes.
And one of the announcements that came out of that that's important for the Borderlands fans is that Randy Pitchford mentioned that there's going to be a Borderlands movie.
Ooh, that is exciting news. We've spent a lot of time in Borderlands.
Yes, we have. And the important thing here is that the Hunger Games studio has picked it up, and they are the ones that are going to be doing the casting and basically all the filming and the budgeting and all that stuff.
Yeah, which makes it a step above some of your, well,
like
less savory video game adaptions.
Yeah, we can kind of talk about the five good or best ones later if we have time, but obviously we don't want it to be a Doom. We would like it to be better than a Need for Speed and probably somewhere on the order of maybe like Tomb Raider quality.
Oh, yeah, at least. Now, it's interesting because the news was big enough, Dennis, that Forbes magazine, of all people, picked up an article on how it could be cast, a Dreamcast article.
Yeah. So we were talking about a dream build in the previous segment. So why not the Dreamcast for the next up-and-coming Borderlands movie?
I have to say I'm excited about it. In fact, maybe more excited than The Last of Us movie, which has kind of got my interest piqued. But let's see who they chose.
All right, so first on the list is Lilith, obviously the most important character in Borderlands and to everybody else. But we have Olivia Wilde.
Well, I think she's a great choice. One, she's got the geek creed, right? She's got that sort of feel, and she's a serious actress, and she's got the looks and the sass. Yeah. I'm going to say thumbs up for that choice.
All right. I would happen to agree, but I will admit that I'm not as much up on some of these actors that are on this list, so I am going to be looking to you for
excellent judgments. Well, one of the bright points of Tron, for example, so excellent.
So we have Roland as Mike Coulter.
Well, Roland is one of my favorite characters, you know, the big heavy, and Roland also has a bit of a geek credo in that he is involved in the Halo movie, Halo Nightfall, and was also cast as Luke Cage, so he's got the attraction, he's got the look, and, you know, a good tough guy.
Yeah, we have to have a big guy for Roland. Next on the list is Mordecai. I know this is one of your favorite characters from Borderlands 1.
I definitely liked playing Mordecai, and they chose Walton Groggins. Now, not a name that you maybe are familiar with, but if you Google him or IMDb him, yeah, you're going to know exactly who we're talking about. He's a Tarantino favorite, and I think a great choice for a little bit ragged around the edges like Mordecai is, especially when you get into the later Borderlands story.
Right, and I did notice that a lot of these choices were based off of facial features and the way that the faces matched the way that they were modeled in the game.
Yeah, well, and a little bit the voice and attitude, but I definitely see that. So I'm not going to complain. Mordecai, one of those that I think a lot of actors could disappear into, especially with the facial hair.
All right, so we have Brick as
Dave Bastida, which is dun-dun-dun from Guardians of the Galaxy.
The big guy.
Definitely the big guy, and a great choice for Brick, because Dave, as you know, is a huge bodybuilder and a professional wrestler, and he has shown that he's got the acting chops and I think could pull off Brick's, well, semi-serious demeanor.
Yes.
But it might not be that much of a stretch from his Guardians of the Galaxy persona as Drax.
Yeah, I want to say that this pick was based off of that movie almost 100%.
I think so.
Next one, I have, I don't agree with this one, but is Scooter as DJ
Qualls. DJ Qualls. Qualls.
DJ Qualls.
So you may be thinking, who is DJ Qualls? But you would know him best from a string of what I would say are maybe sketchy comedies. Mm-hmm. He starred Road Trip, for example.
Right. And he was always kind of the skinny, weak geek guy, and Scooter is far from that. Scooter is more of I see him as being like the character Cooter from Dukes of Hazzard back in the day.
Yeah, I can see that. Maybe a younger version of that, but definitely a good old boy. Now, we're talking about a mechanic here, and you know, DJ is a great actor, and he's kind of got the weird aspect of it down, but I don't think that he would pull off the redneck backwoods mechanic as well.
Yeah, because that really takes kind of a strong person. I mean, anyone that's ever worked on a car, for instance, you have to be somewhat strong to be able to do stuff. And he, you know, no points against him, but he doesn't have the build for it.
Oh, yeah, I think I agree. So not my first choice by far.
All right, next one, Mad Moxie.
Ooh, I know this one's near and dear to you because she is all sass and sex appeal. Mm-hmm. And they chose Carla Gugino, who is, well, she's definitely a hottie and a sassy one. Now, the thing about Moxie is I could easily see this being a busty supermodel who's getting an opportunity to just ooze sex.
Or they could even pick a porn star that wants to make a breakout film.
Definitely a lot of opportunity there. Do I agree with the casting choice? Yeah, I think she'd be great. But mm-hmm. this is one that could easily go a lot of different directions.
Yeah. And it's all about reading the script, because what makes Moxie Moxie is how she talks and the innuendos and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Next on the list, we have Handsome Jack. And this is going to be an important pick because in the Borderlands game, the voice actor actually won a bunch of awards for the way he voiced Jack.
Yes, he did. And that, I think, is going to make this a polarizing choice. Forbes chose
Tom Cruise.
Wow, yeah.
Now, and I want to say that they picked Tom because of the facial features, because his face matches what the way that Jack was modeled in the pre-sequel and in Borderlands 2.
Well, and I agree. Now, Handsome Jack was voiced by Damian Clark, who is, as you said, an award-winning, and he's a bit of a chiseled fella himself. I could easily see him coming off some of his TV roles, which is what he's more normally known for, and playing Handsome Jack. I think... Yeah, Tom Cruise makes a good choice because he is handsome, but I have a hard time seeing him as a villain.
Yeah, and why not bring him over? Because Handsome Jack, what makes Handsome Jack him is the voice and the way that the voice was done.
Well, and so much of a Handsome Jack is done purely as a voiceover in the game.
Next on the list, we have Tiny Tina.
Ooh, another polarizing choice here. Tiny Tina, they have chosen Ashley Birch.
And I'm not familiar with this character at all.
Well, she's definitely quirky and cute. And this is a tough one because Tiny Tina in the game is a whacked out child.
Yeah, she's not like, what, 13?
Yeah, so I think this would present a bit of a casting challenge, especially if they're going to be true to the character, because mm-hmm. you can't really go with the minor.
Reasons. Yeah. Lots of reasons, actually.
So I could see this being a good choice. I'm not as familiar with Ashley, but, she has the look down. Mm-hmm. But can she pull off the Tiny Tina personality? Ooh, that remains to be seen.
Yeah. I would almost go with an unknown for Tiny Tina if they do cast her.
Yes, absolutely. Or at least get the smallest actress that you can.
Yeah. So the next one is a big minor character. Big minor being the metaphor there. Mr. Torque.
Now, it's interesting, not just because they've chosen Terry Crews, which is absolutely perfect.
Yes.
For Torque. I mean, the only really way you could go any different is to go with, some of the old school, over-the-top professional wrestlers, and most of them are just older. I don't know if there's anybody in the wrestling that pulls off that over-the-top, Randy Macho Man Savage style.
Yeah, and really, Randy would be perfect for this mm-hmm. role.
But Terry Crews certainly has the acting chops, a fantastic comedic personality.
And the muscles.
And he would look great doing it. Now, what's also interesting about that is you may not have noticed, but they've kind of handpicked what expansion characters they've chosen. And Torg is in several of the expansions, but they've left out some characters too, and that might be interesting to talk about. Yes. But let's see what else we've got.
Next on the list, we have Sir Hammerlock.
Now, they've chose Liam Cunningham, who's maybe best known for his Game of Thrones character. Mm-hmm. Now, what's interesting is he is probably the oldest actor that they've had on the list.
Well, Sir Hammerlock is old. He's a gentleman hunter.
Yes, that is true.
He does have the English accent, so obviously that is important.
Uh-huh. I can definitely see it, although I kind of picture him as a little bit more of a rail, and Liam, ironically, is a little bit bigger, which isn't necessarily a bad direction for the character. Yeah. I think he could pull it off.
I think, really, if we go back to like one of the movies from the past, Jumanji.
Oh, yeah.
The hunter in that movie would be the perfect fit for Sarah Mellon.
That's a nice parallel. So, excellent. All in all, a fairly easy casting choice there.
All right. Now, Gage, this is the one that I think is perfect.
Oh, yeah, for Gage. One of my favorite newer characters, Anna Kendrick, which, of course, she has a lot of geek credo if you follow her on Facebook or Twitter. And if you don't, you should, because she's hilarious. And she has the great sass and personality. It's just kind of a shame she wouldn't get to sing.
Second to last, we have Zero.
Well, for Zero, they've chosen Ray Park. And let's face it, Ray Park is a great choice. He's got the look, he's got the build, and we know that he can fight.
Mm-hmm. And he can fight behind a mask with a sword, and that's important for Zero.
Absolutely. Let's face it, I'd like to see Ray Park get more work.
All right, last one on the list, we have Maya.
Maya.
Vanessa Hudgenson.
Hudgens. Now, Vanessa is, of course, from the Disney School, but more recently has been showing adult fare like Spring Breakers, for example. And she definitely has the high cheekbone look, but I kind of had pictured somebody with a little bit more of maybe an uptight British look to her, like, you know, a posh spice kind of look. Yeah. I don't know that Victoria could pull off the look as a fighter, but she definitely has the Maya look. In fact, I'd say Maya could have been inspired by Victoria Beckham. Mm,
very true, very true. So let's see. Oh, we have one more character. We have Axton.
Axton. Now, Axton is Scott Eastwood, a very upcoming actor, of course, Clint Eastwood's son. So he's got the right look for it.
He also has the right connections.
And his acting chops have been solid. So maybe a bit of a stunt cast, since I picture Axton as being a little bit older from what I saw in it. Mm-hmm. But all right, I can see that.
Well, Axton's character in the game was a retired soldier.
Yeah.
You know, he ran away. He was married. He'd been a doll soldier for many, many years, and then he just became a mercenary.
Now, I could see this is going to maybe a little bit of an older actor, but a popular, like maybe Jake Gyllenhaal, for example, mm-hmm. could pull it off, although he maybe doesn't have quite the soldier look. We've seen him pull it off before.
Yep. All right. So we have Salvador. Danny
Salvador.
Trejo.
Danny. Trio. Yeah. Trejo is I think, almost a drop-in. You know, I could see other characters doing this. Danny, as big as he is, maybe isn't even big enough.
Yeah. Well, Salvador, the reason that he is like, you know, he's the Gunzerker. He's a big tank.
Oh, yeah.
You need to have a big person like that. Unfortunately, big people aren't big muscular, unfortunately. So
yeah, you almost have to go with like a young Arnold, only yeah,
shorter.
There isn't really, yeah.
Well, I guess they could do like some you know, Lord of the Rings sort of shrinking and making a dwarf out of somebody.
But. Oh my gosh, yes. But, you know, all in all, I'd love to see Danny play it because I'm a fan. I think he brings the right kind of, I don't know, winking nod to the camera. Mm-hmm. And that's the last one that Forbes chose, but there are some glaring missing characters.
Like Angel, for instance.
Angel, yeah. Especially if you're going to do the first Borderlands or even...
Well,
some
even
of the second,
yeah,
you got to have Angel.
Angel is very important. It's, but, well, if you have Jack in it, you need to have Angel because obviously they died at around the same time.
Well, yeah, and that's
spoilers, by the way.
Oh boy, yeah. So Angel definitely missing, and Angel's another one that, you know, would almost be a better fit for Olivia Wilde, maybe, mm-hmm. because her personality shifts and she'd need to be a little more chameleon like as the show progresses. A lot of young actresses could pull that off, but she needs to be tough in her duplicity, so I'd like to see a little more experienced actress in that.
Yeah. We have a minor character that came to mind, which is Marcus, but uh-huh. obviously that could be any person, really. Although Marcus is more of the, you know, he's a tough guy.
Right.
You know, you don't want to cross him, so he has to be someone that is more of a, cast as a villain in previous films.
Well, yeah. Although you could type cast maybe and get somebody in there and let them really stretch their wings. Mm-hmm. Now, I thought the biggest omission is kind of obvious, and that's Claptrap.
Claptrap, yes. And they may have not put Claptrap on here because obviously he's not going to translate into a real character.
Absolutely.
However, the voice of Claptrap is very, very important. And if you screw that up, uh-huh. the movie's done.
So Claptrap was voiced by David Eddings, another phenomenal job, and he was also up for a lot of awards. Mm-hmm. And being they could run this character, well... animated, at least computer animated,
yeah.
if not through a true robot, I can't see why you wouldn't bring him back.
Yeah. So any other characters that we can think of? I mean, we have obviously some of the villains that we ran into in the game.
Right. Well, you know, you've got Piston, maybe,
no.
Marauder, some of the other bad guys, but they're not major characters.
No. Nope.
You know, and what's interesting is now that I'm looking at the original voice cast, Angel was done by Brittany Johnson. And the name isn't exactly jumping out at me, but she's got the right look for it. I think that she could pull it off.
Yeah, she would be perfect. I mean, she's got the long black hair,
uh-huh.
the skinny face. She's would fit perfect.
And ironically, she's done some screen work, but maybe is most famous for her Borderlands voice work. So definitely the type of person that you would expect would jump at the opportunity maybe to bring that to the big screen.
Yeah.
And as much as I love Dreamcasting, it might be fun to see some of the original voice talent get a chance to do it on the big screen. I mean, after all, they've got that character down.
Yep. There has yet to be any word on when the Borderlands movie will start filming or when it might actually reach theaters, but that's one that I'm going to be watching very closely.
Well, I think we need to come back and revisit successful video game movies and maybe some of our favorite failures in the future. But for now, we'll see you in the Borderlands.
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS. Follow us on Google or like us on Facebook. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2015. Thanks for listening.